really good to be here with you tonight. I didn't come expecting to be called on to introduce or to speak, and really didn't have much on my mind except that I would like to. I woke up a little bit late from a nap, and I remembered y'all were having church, and I wanted to be with God's people tonight. What's the scripture say? I was glad. And they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And the Lord tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And it's important for us to be at the Lord's house. I know this is some people feel like this is an extra meeting. It's a bonus. It's a bonus. It's a bonus when we have another meeting other than our Sunday mornings, you know. Any time that we can spend in God's Word, it's a bonus. And that I could feel that way every day, that I'd wake just wanting to get into God's Word, because it's food for my soul. It lifts our spirits to learn about our Savior and His love toward us. Had a few things on my mind today, and I'd like to just think on Jesus. This is where our minds need to go, because there's in our prayers, we've got a lot of tribulation around us, don't us? And He says, "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And that's not always an easy thing to do, to be a good cheer, it seems, for me. But when we think on God, when we're thinking on whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things be of a good report, well, it's almost like we get blinders on to the cares around us, or maybe the cares that's just directly impacting us. We can rejoice always in the Lord. We should. He wouldn't tell us to do something we can't do. And sometimes it just seems impossible. But you know, God tells us a lot of things are impossible. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. I had a friend told me when my dad died, just over a couple of years ago, "You'll never get over it," she said. And just with grief in her eyes told me, she said, "You'll never get over it." And I knew she meant well. And I thought, well, I told her, I said, "I've had a lot of friends went through worse." I said, "You may be right. I may never get over it." I said, "By God's grace, I'll get through it." I said, "And I've had a lot of friends go through a lot worse. I've seen that God's blessed them to have joy in this life. You know, death is not the end all of everything. It may be for here and now. But we've got a promise. We've got a promise. Those of us who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world will be with Him. They're with Him now. To be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. It don't get no better than that, I don't believe. It's not going to be in this sin-cursed earth. It's going to be in heaven where there is no sin, no sickness, no death. Joy and praise evermore. I'll read just a little bit here in 1 Peter chapter 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice..." And I'll start in verse 25 of chapter 1. "The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And Christ is the word. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also are appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a chosen generation. Isn't it wonderful that he's called you out of darkness? That he's called you to gather with his people, to come and dine. I tried to preach a couple of weeks ago and I stumbled and stammered with my words, but I went out and looked at some cucumbers and tomatoes that I'd started at the beginning of the year. And they popped up real quick and were looking good. And I didn't dent to them as I should have. You know, I tried a little bit here and there. Just the slugs got on some of my plants. And I'd throw some seven dust and the rain would come wash it off. And there they'd come back. And I left them in those little trays, you know, little trays. So they did what they could, but their roots were shallow. They had no depth of earth. And they started looking pitiful, had fruit, but wasn't something you'd want to eat. And I just thought about the parable of the sower when I saw that, and how if we came to church, if we just come once a week just to be fed, and it's where you need to come to be fed, no doubt about that. It's where you need to come to offer praises to God. It'll do you good. It does those around you good when you're here. We need the fellowship of each other, of fellow saints in our service to God. We need that. I heard a pastor, and I can't remember who it was, preaching one time about a fellow that he had left the fellowship of the church. And he went to speak with the man. The man had a fireplace there in his house. And I think the man told him, said, "Preacher, I know why you're here. You know, you don't need to." He knew that he was there to talk to him about his falling away from the fellowship. And he said, "Preacher just took a coal out of the fire and set it by itself. And how quickly it grew. The flame went out. It turned dark and cold. And then he put it back in. And it lit up again. There, warmth. Life came back, it seemed." It's the same thing with those cucumbers. The same thing with us when we fail to do as God calls us to do. We grow cold. We wilt. We wither. We can't. A lot of times we pray to God to revive us, but what are we doing with what He's given us? What are we doing with what he's given us? Are we good stewards? I'm ashamed to say I'm not. Many times I'm not. But may the Lord help us. And may we encourage one another as we see the day approaching. I've fallen so short on that. And I hope the Lord forgive me and bless us all to be encouragers of one another, to be at the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. And not only that, to be studying and praying through the week for one another, that we might feel God's presence. He is present. He's never far from any of us. But there's things that we can do to enter in, and there's things in our lives that can keep us from entering into the kingdom of God. Not mean entering into church. You can come to church and be as cold as somebody that's not coming, I guess. But when we, if we walk in obedience, and when we do fall, remember that God came to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief, and call upon Him. Help me, Lord. You know, if we confess our sins, one to another, He is faithful and just, not only to forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Lord bless truth and pardoning the error. And if y'all would bow with me, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you again for this time, dear Lord, this bonus time that you've given us, dear Lord, to come and fellowship with thy people and to seek thy face, Father. We just ask that you'd bless all that's here, dear Lord, with a special blessing of thy felt presence, dear Lord, that you'd bless the preaching, dear Lord. Dear Lord, that it be to thy honor and glory, and that it be just a blessing to us, Father, that we'd grow thereby. And help us, dear Lord, in our walk, and to help one another while we live. In Jesus' name, amen.